As Benjamin Franklin famously put it, Americans have a republic if we can keep it. Preserving the Constitution and the democratic system it supports is the public's responsibility. One route the Constitution provides for discharging that duty, a route rarely traveled, is impeachment. In his new book, Impeachment, A Citizen's Guide, Harvard University law professor and constitutional law expert Cass Sunstein provides a succinct citizen's guide to an essential tool of self-government. He illuminates the constitutional design behind impeachment and emphasizes the people's role in holding presidents accountable. I spoke recently with Cass Sunstein about impeachment and about the intense interest in the subject, but how it is widely misunderstood.
Fortunately, we haven't had to think about impeachment very often. We haven't had cause for invoking the impeachment mechanism, certainly not against the president and the vice president. And if you don't have to use something, then you don't have to think about it very much. It's a little like our fail-safe in case things go very, very wrong. And if you have a fail-safe in your home or in your workplace, if things are working well, you don't have to figure out how to operate it. And so that's kind of the reason, I think. Other parts of the Constitution, you know, the four-year election of the president, the composition of the Senate, the independence of the judiciary, those are kind of workaday things in the sense that we live with them. Impeachment is a different kind of animal.
When it comes to the misconceptions, what do you think those are for most Americans of not understanding what it takes to impeach a president of the United States?
There are two major misunderstandings. The first is that you need a criminal act to have an impeachable offense, and some of our most prominent elected representatives have actually said that. That's not true. If the president says, "I'm going to go on vacation in Moscow for the next 6 months, see you later," that's not a crime, but that's certainly an impeachable act. If the president says, "I kind of like to make war against, you know, this country or that country, and I don't particularly want to go to Congress or have reasons that I'm going to tell you about," that's definitely impeachable. If the president says it's time to lock a bunch of people up and here's the ground, that's very possibly an impeachable offense. It depends really on whether the ground is political self-interest or punishment of enemies, or whether there's something more solid. And that's not a crime either. Abuses of the pardon power can be impeachable offenses. That's very clear from the founding history. So crime is not necessary, and people tend to think that it is. That's the biggest mistake. The second biggest mistake is to say that whatever the House of Representatives says is impeachable, and that's just not true. We need a high crime and misdemeanor, which means we need something like an egregious abuse of presidential authority. And if the House thinks the president is lousy or reckless or, you know, just an idiot, can't impeach the president for that reason. He gets his 4 years.
The last president to be impeached was William Jefferson Clinton. It seems in that case, and having, you know, been alive when that happened, that didn't go a long way to help us understand the process, did it? Because here the man was impeached, and yet he was not removed from office.
Yes, that's true, but on a very optimistic view, which is not quite mine, I'll give mine in a moment, but on a very optimistic view, the system worked well enough, and the optimistic view would say that the fact that the president wasn't removed from office, the Senate refused to convict, was kind of testimony to the smartness and robustness of the constitutional framework, which protected the president, on this optimistic view, from being removed from office when there wasn't really sufficient grounds. That's not to say that what the president did, President Clinton, that is, in connection with Monica Lewinsky, was excusable. It might have involved crimes, but not the kinds of high crimes and misdemeanors that were bases for the constitutional settlement. That is, this isn't, in the Clinton case, something like, you know, throwing liberty to one side, pardoning your political buddies who were engaged in actions that you counseled, or betraying this country to another one. That's not what Clinton was accused of doing. So he didn't really have an impeachable offense, and the Senate stood up and said he gets to keep being president. So that, in that sense, the system worked. The not-so-good thing about the Clinton impeachment, and why I don't quite have the optimistic view, is that whatever President Clinton did, it wasn't an impeachable offense. It wasn't the kind of thing that should gin up the machinery of the House of Representatives. But the country did have a kind of civics lesson during the Clinton impeachment, and there was a lot of discussion of these issues about what's an impeachable offense, did Clinton's conduct rise to the standard. And in that sense, we did have learning among both Democrats and Republicans that this mechanism's here, and there are some things that are kind of awful that we the people get to be in charge of punishing the president for doing.
You write in the book, we do not need to focus on the impeachment mechanism, but if we're going to keep our republic, we do need to know about it. It's our failsafe, our shield, our sword, our ultimate weapon of self-defense. What do we need to know to embolden that and to make us feel better about it?
The first thing we need to know is that our country was born under inspiration. And the inspiration was an idea, and the idea is the equal dignity of human beings. And that is an idea that was unleashed in the colonies in the 18th century. And the monarchy kind of had to go, if you believe in the equal dignity of human beings. And self-government had to come. We're in charge of our destiny, not some person who's a tyrant or who's put in place by someone other than us. So that we kind of need to know. And we need to know that without the impeachment mechanism, that is the mechanism by which we can say with Bob Dylan, sometimes even the President of the United States has to stand naked. Without the impeachment mechanism, we wouldn't have had a constitution at all. We, the people back then, wouldn't have gone for the creation of a powerful president, which was acceptable only because we could get rid of him. And once we know those things, we're kind of in business. We have the background understanding that this is our system after all. And if we don't want to impeach the president, and we don't think there's something that's egregious enough to justify use of the mechanism, that's a blessing. That's fantastic. That shows we don't need our fail-safe, but we do have it in our back pocket.
Okay, so three takeaways for me in the book that I jotted down here that I want to go over. One is that I was fascinated by the fact, and I guess just because I had never thought about it, but there really is no, if an impeachment is somehow wrong, or it perhaps cannot be, even if it's unconstitutional, it is in the hands of the Congress, and you write, there is nothing that the Supreme Court or the judiciary can do about that.
Yeah, and that's because the impeachment mechanism is really for us, not for the judges and the lawyers. And by design, the mechanism, though it has a legal standard in it, high crimes and misdemeanors, the mechanism is really a profoundly democratic mechanism. And if you put the Supreme Court in charge in some sense, you would infuse this democratic system with judges. And that's not what it's about.
The other issue, of course, is that when we think of impeachment and we think of this removal from office of what is the, and let's go back to, we were talking about President Clinton. Let us talk about President Nixon, who resigned. Do we have any idea what would have happened there? And did the system work in that case?
Unquestionably, the system worked. So that's something really to be proud of, the fact that we the people rose up in the Nixon case, stopped a presidency which had many tremendous achievements and virtues. So Nixon did numerous great things. Nonetheless, there were impeachable offenses, and the system worked. Now, you're right to ask, would the country have carried through on the impeachment process for Nixon? it's crystal clear from just vote counting that Nixon would have been impeached for several of the grounds on which articles had been drawn up. So he would have been impeached. Whether he would have been convicted in the Senate and removed from office is not clear. That's something for which we don't have a vote count. And given the fact that a number of Republicans remained loyal to Nixon, it was understandable. He was a Republican and was, in many ways, an outstanding president. Whether the two-thirds vote could have been gotten, who knows? But thank goodness that the system succeeded in, you know, convincing him it's time to go, and we didn't need to test the hard question in the Senate.
And finally, in the notes that I have made here, is that let us talk about the elephant in the room, which seems to be, since the day that President Donald J. Trump was inaugurated, people have been a certain swath of the American people have been talking about his impeachment. I will ask this question in two parts. One is, have you ever seen anything like that upon the election of a president, that the talk of impeachment came so quickly, number one? And number two, that how do you then govern and operate when it seems to be that many are just lying in wait for something to go wrong here?
Well, I think a number of presidents, including President Trump's predecessor, encountered extremely intense opposition from very early on. And so what President Trump has encountered, I think it would be hard to say that it's unique, especially in virtue of the fact that he's had, you know, majorities and pretty good majorities, not very narrow majorities in the House and the Senate, where it's narrower, but it's not, you know, that thin. So he has not encountered the kind of headwinds that some of his predecessors have, though, of course, there was some impeachment talk even very early, and that is unusual. Okay, having said that, I think it wouldn't be right to say that President Trump has had, you know, special difficulties governing by virtue of the I word, because while the use of the impeachment term in January and February and March could be found, and while in my view it was irresponsible and reckless to talk in those terms about a just elected president, that wasn't meaningful in terms of governance. So the fact that President Trump has had challenges getting some of his legislative initiatives through is not a product of the use at the time by very marginal people of the I word. It was instead a result of the fact that people, you know, either didn't like the proposed replacement in the case of the Affordable Care Act, or possibly were okay with some provisions, and thinking now of the Dodd-Frank legislation. And the headwinds more have to do, I think, with policy disagreement than anything like what we're now discussing.
The name of the book is Impeachment, A Citizen's Guide. It is published by Harvard University Press. Cass Sunstein, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Okay, great. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Impeachment, A Citizen's Guide, published by Harvard University Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.